Today's shiur is Masechta Gedushin Daf Yotes, and we will begin on Daf Yotes on an Aleph, six lines from the top, Bayi Rish Lakish. As we discussed in the previous shiur, and we'll continue discussing, the Torah speaks about a parasha of Yud, that if a father sells his daughter as an Amah of Riyah, the owner or the owner's son have the right to do yiud, to marry this girl as their wife. And certainly, if the son of the owner is a gadol, he's an adult, his father could give the amah of Riyah to him as a wife. There is a machlokes rishonim, exactly how yiud haben works. The Rambam is of the opinion that it's the father who does the actual act of yiud by telling the amah of Riyah, you are mekudeshes to my son. Rashi says it's the son who does the yiud himself. The Lecha Mishnah wants to suggest that perhaps there is no machloikis between Rambam and Rashi, rather the Rambam is referring to a situation that the son asked the father to do yid on his behalf, where there the father certainly has the right to do it. The other case is where the son wants to do it by himself. But Al Gemara, Rish Lakish, asks a different question. By Rish Lakish, Ma'ashim Yad Adam Levnoi Katan. Could somebody do yid for his son while the son is a katan? B'noi Amrachmana, the Torah tells us that yid could be done for a son. B'noi Kaldehu, so as long as this individual is a son, yid is passable. Adilma, B'noi Dum Yiradei, perhaps the Torah means that the son should be similar to the father. Ma'ahu Gadol, just like the father is obviously a Gadol, Af B'noi Gadol, so too must the son be a Gadol. And the Mefarshim discuss, how do we indeed know that this father must be a Gadol? Perhaps the father received an Amah of Riyah while he was a katan, and he's also a katan. So the Rishon, so the Mefarshim answer, certainly the individual who's doing Yiyut has to be a Gadol. And if there were a situation that both the father and the son were katanim, the Gemara would have no question, Yiyud would be certainly impossible. Our Gemara is discussing a situation where at least the father is a Gadol, but the son is a Katan, and therefore the Gemara's question is, can Yiyud be done or not? Rav Zeira, so Rav Zeira tries to prove an answer to this question from the following Braisa, Toshma. The Pasuk says, Ish Ashi Yinaf as Eishas Ish. The Torah here speaks about a person who does an act of adultery with an Eishas Ish, says the Braisa, Pratel Katan. A Katan, the din of Niuf, the din of this terrible Avera with the punishment of death, does not apply if the individual, if the adulterer, is a Katan. And Rishonim ask, obviously, if this person is a Katan, then he's not subject to an Einish, to a punishment. What does the Brice have to tell us? So I saw a number of answers to this question in the Rishonim. One answer is that the Torah in the Parasha of Arias uses the word nefashos, and therefore one may think that by specific using the word nefashos, it comes to include a katan. That's why the Brisa here has to teach us that doesn't include a katan. Another pshat that I saw is that just like we find that the Torah says that if someone had relations with an animal, so not only the human being is put to death, but the animal is also put to death, even though the animal doesn't have any das. Similarly, the Braisa thought that the katan, even though he doesn't have das, maybe should be put to death. That's what the Braisa says he isn't. Along the same lines, the halacha is if a woman, if an eishes ish, committed adultery, and she was pregnant when she was sentenced to death, the halach is that we don't wait until her baby is born. rather we immediately put it to death. So even though these fetuses certainly did not do the Aveira, similarly we think perhaps a katan should be put to death. Why? So Rishayim explained, because even though we have a rule, misasik, if somebody did an Aveira without any intention, he's potter, there are two exceptions to the rule. Misasik, potter, chutz michalovim v'arayis. If somebody ate chalev or did a Aveira of arayis while he, even b'misasik is chayiv. And the Gemara says, the reason is, shekein nena. He actually enjoyed it, so it makes no difference if there was intent or not. Therefore, we would think that this cotton, although he's a cotton, since he did this act of adultery, which brought him pleasure, maybe he should be mechayiv misa, teaches us the b'raisa prat le cotton. Ashi yinaf as eishes ish, prat le eishes cotton. The wife of a cotton is not subject to the din of being an eishes ish. Why? So some Rishonim explain, because the Torah says that she's not considered an eishes ish if a husband is a cotton. Rav Chaim Brisker takes somewhat of a different approach. Really, the Rishonim already say what Rav Chaim says. As we have been learning from the beginning of our Masechta, Kiddushin actually represents a kinyan. And since a cotton is unable to do a kinyan, so therefore the wife of a cotton is not considered an eishes ish. And as Rav Shmuel Rizovsky points out, what is the nafkamina between these two approaches? What will happen if someone did kedushin with a woman while he was a cotton, and then he became a gadol? According to the first approach, it's only as long as he's a cotton is she not an eishes ish. Once he becomes a gadol, she's an eishes ish. But if, as Rav Chaim explains, the concern here is that the kinyan was an invalid kinyan because he was a cotton when he did this kinyan, so even though now he's a gadol, if he didn't do a proper kinyan, she would not be considered an eishes ish. Now makes Rav Zeira his point. Vi amrit miyad. If we said that, if we will say that yid can be done for a child, for a son who's still a cotton, im kem etzinu ishes l'cotton, there would be a case of ishes of a cotton having an eishes ish. So if the b'raisa says that there is no such case, it must be ein ishes l'cotton. Says the Gemara, on the contrary, elamai, if we're going to say ein miyad, that the yield that's done on behalf of a cotton is a meaningless yield, akamai kamad l'kra. Why do we need a pasuk? Tivshe minadim yad. Why do we need a pasuk if that yield is a meaningless yield? It must be tivshe minadim yad, that the yield is a real yield and she is a wife. But as the Tosfos Rit explains, but the Torah teaches us that for the specific din, that an eishes ish is mechuyev misa, that din, if she has an adulterous relationship, that din doesn't apply. But she is considered a wife. So some Mefarshim ask, why don't we just say the opposite? This is exactly what the Pasuk is teaching us, that she isn't a wife. And not to make the error that the yield is a yield. So says, say to Mefarshim, if that would be what the Pasuk is teaching us, then the Pasuk should have said Prat le cotton. When the Raisa said Prat le Aishas cotton, it means that there is a case that she's considered an Aishas ish, but because the husband is a cotton, she doesn't have all the dinim of an Aishas ish. Says the Gemara Amar Avashi, it doesn't have to at all be referring to a situation of Yud. Rather, Hacha, we're referring to a situation Yavam ben Teshanim, where the Yavam was 9 years old, that he has the ability to do Bia. The Medaraisa Chazilei, his Bia is a valid Bia, and we know to affect Yibum, all that's required is just Bia, and therefore since that bia was a valid bia, we consider his wife habalel. Somebody has relations with this woman, it's as if he had relations mischayev beishes ish. Kamash malon, that since he's a cotton, his wife is not considered an Eish Ish to the degree that if somebody has relations with her, there's a Chiyuv Misa. So we return to our original question. The question was, can Yid be done for a katan or not? May have a law. What is the halacha? Amar Rav Toshma, Amar Rav Ivy, Amar Rav Yani, Ein Yid El Begodl. Yid can only be done for a godl. And Ein Yid El Medas. Furthermore, he says that Yid can only be done with consent. Ask the Gemara Tarti. And there are a number of explanations in the Rishonim how to explain this question of Tarti. We're going to follow the approach of Rashi. The Rashi says that these two rulings are seemingly redundant. Saying Ein Yir El Begodl is the same as saying that Ein Yir El Medas. That's how Rashi learns. However, Tosfos says a different pshat. Tosfos says in the name of Rabbi Chanan that the Gemara's question is that when it says Ein Yir El Begodl, it means as long as the person doing the Yir is a Godl, the Yir will always be effective. But then the Brisa says Ein Yir El Medas, that it seems that consent is required, not just that he's a Godl. The Ritva quotes Rabbeinu Tam that the Gemara's question is that by saying Ein Yir El Medas, it would mean that if we would have a situation that the cotton had Das, there would be yield. But from the first rule, it seems that he has to be specifically a godel. But then I saw another pshat, that the question of the Gemara is really based around a machlaikis achrayim. Why would be the halacha if when the father bought this Amma Havriya, the son was a cotton, but by the time Yud is to be conducted, the son is a godel? Can the son do Yud or not? The Hamakna holds that as long as the son is a godel, when they want to do Yud, he can do Yud. The Miches Chinuch seems to hold that if the son wasn't a godel when the Amma Havriya was purchased, even though now when Yud is to be conducted, he is a godel, it makes no difference. So that perhaps is what the Gemara's question is. Ein Yir El Begodl means to say that as long as he's an adult, Yid could be done. As long as he was an adult when she was purchased. On the other hand, it says Ein Yir El Medas. We have to look at what she is at the moment of the Yid. But again, we will follow Rashi. But Rashi's explanation is that isn't this Brisa a redundancy? Explains the Gemara. The way to understand the Brisa is a ma tam kamer. The Brisa, this one rule is explaining the other reason. Ma tam ein yid al begodl. Why must yid be done by godl? Because das is required, and a godl is the one that has das. So we see from here that only a godl could do yid. Vibray seima. Another explanation. Ma midas. What does das mean? It doesn't refer to the one doing the yid. It refers to Amavriya. Midas the dar, hard intent. And here too we find the Machlokes Rishonim. What does Midas the dar mean? Some Rishonim explain that she has to be informed that yield is going to be done, and she must consent. That's what it seems Rashi holds. Other Rishonim say that we don't need her consent, but we do need to notify her what's going to happen. And even in that, there's a machlokes to what degree the notification is required. Some say that she has to be given all the details of what yield represents. Other Rishonim say we don't have to go that much in detail. The Tani Abaye Bered Rebavua, Ashlo Ya'oda, the Torah speaks about the owner who did not do yield. Melamed Shetzorach Liyada, that yid should be done. And who tunnel over who amala? Abai was the one that taught this price, and Abai is the one that explained this price, that this price is referring to Kedusha Yid, and it's following the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, who we quoted in the previous year, and we'll discuss a little more in a moment, who holds that the Kedusha Yid don't go back to the moment when the owner purchased Dama Avriya, but rather it's from the moment of Yir and on, And therefore, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, it's the girl herself who accepts the yud. The elite Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, the Amar Mois Rishonis, that the first money that the father received is Lavel Kedushin Etnu. It's rather the money that the girl receives, and that's what's accomplishing yield. And that's why data hadas is required. Rav Nachman Yitzchak has a different explanation of the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. And he holds that even according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, one could suggest that a few time of Kedushin Etnu, that the original money that the father receives is what accomplishes the Kedushin, the Kedusha Yud. So if so, why is her Das required? Shani Hacha, Damar Rahman, because the Torah specifically said, Ya'ada, that we need her consent. So since we mentioned Rav Yosi Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, the Gemara is going to focus on his opinion. My Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, the Tanya Yehuda Vehefta. And as the Ritva explains, even though the word Vehefta, we've explained previously, comes to teach us that Geron Kesef is a way that a Om Avriya could redeem herself, the fact that the Torah puts the word Yehuda and Vehefta together, Tzorach Sheshos B'yoyim Kedei P'diya. He learns that there has to be enough value left in this Omar of Ria when Yid is going to be done. Meaning, as we've learned, Omar of Ria is sold typically for a term of 6 years. So every day, if we divide the sum that was paid to the father over those 6 years, every day has a value. We have to have, says Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, enough value left in this Omar of Ria that there should be a pruta, that the kedusha yid should be effective. Bekan Amar Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, im yesh shos b'yoyim kedei lasi mashav pruta. If she has that much value left in her, then mekudeshes kedusha yid can be done. Mlav and mekudeshes. And there are really two approaches in the Rishonim. Why? One approach is that's exeris akasif. The yid can only be done as long as there's that much value left. The Ramban has a different approach. He says, if there's so little value left in this Amar Avriya, not even a Shava Pruta, then effectively her servitude has ended. And since effectively her servitude has ended, that's why yid is no longer possible. Alma, obviously, what is Rabbi Yosef Yehuda hold? The Mos HaRishonis Lav LeKedusha Nitnu. The original money that was given, that's now what affects the Kedushin. It's the money that's left in the value of the Amar Avriya that makes the Kedushin. Rav Nachman Yitzchak holds Afil Taima LeKedusha Nitnu. We could suggest, says Rav Nachman Yitzchak, that even Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda will say it's the original money that the father receives that affects the Kedushin. So if so, why do we have to look if there's a Shavu Pruta left of value or not? Because Shani Hacha, because here the Torah explicitly says, for Hefta, she has to be, there has to be enough left in her in order the yid should be done. And the Nafgamina, the Rishonim point out, between the first approach in understanding Rabbi Yosef Yehuda and Rabbi Nachman by Yitzchak's approach is, if we'll say that the Mos Rishonis were given L'Kedushin, so as we learned in the previous year, if a father gives a daughter for Kedushin, he will not have a right to give her to sell her ever again as Amar Avriya. So if it's the father's acceptance of the money that creates the Kedushin, the father will never be able to sell this girl again as a Shifcha. On the other hand, if it's the girl who's accepting her Kedushin, so the father never gave his daughter up for marriage, and he will still have the right to sell her as a shifcha. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman. Amar Adam Lebitai, Ktana. A person could tell his daughter who's a Ktana, Tzi v'kabli k'dusheich, you go and accept your own kedushin with Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. From what we just learned, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda said, Because Lav Amar Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Then Rabbi Yosef Yehuda said that the Maas Rishonus, that the money that the father received, Lav LeKedushin Nitnu, they're not what creates the Kedushin. V'chi Mishar V'shav Pruta, only if there's a Pruta, a value, a Pruta left in this Amar Vriya, only then do we have a Kedushin. So we see that it's the girl herself who's a Ketana, because if she weren't a Ketana, she wouldn't be an Amar Vriya anymore. Who's accepting the Kedushin? Hachanami Lashna, in all cases, it's a Ketana can accept Kedushin. And there's a great discussion amongst the Rishonim exactly how does this work. Tysus and other Rishonim seem to follow an approach that the father has a right to give over his authority. The father has a right to give over his jurisdiction to the daughter. Other Rishonim seem to go with a concept of Dasa Cheres Makna. Others say it works with as an Orev. Machlokes exactly how it will be effective. Now the question is, even if we're going to say whatever approach we follow, that this Ketana has the ability to accept the Kedushin based on what we learn from Yosef Yehuda, but we know throughout Shas that a Kotna Ketana are not individuals who are able to make Kinyonim or receive money. So the question remains, how will we have here an effective Kedushin? Answer the Mefarshim. Answer Tosfos, that it works with Mechila. The father is Meichel to the daughter, the husband is Meichel, and by the husband being Meichel, that's how we have an effective Kedushin. Asks, and so I saw, based on what Tosfos says it works for Mechila, and Mechila doesn't require any Kinyan. So I saw a very interesting Shaila. What would be the din if someone, Reuven owes Shimon money, and now Shimon sees that Reuven is in bad financial situation, and therefore he assumes that he will not be able to pay his debt, and he's meichel the debt. Reuven never agreed to forgiving the debt, and now Reuven comes, and Baruch Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps him, and now he has the ability to pay up his debt. And he comes to Shimon and says, I want to pay up my debt. Shimon says to Reuven, I already forgave your debt. So the Paiskim suggest that according to the opinion of Tosfos, that Tosfos says that Mechila doesn't require a Kinyan. So even if Reuven never consented to the Mechila remains a valid Mechila and there's no debt. However, according to the opinion of other Rishonim that say that Mechila requires a Kinyan like every other situation, here we will have a situation where since Reuven never was Meichel, never, so there was no Kinyan on the Mechila, and we therefore have no Mechila, and Reuven would still be obligated to pay the debt. Says the Gemara, another rule that could be extrapolated based on what Rabbi Yosef Yehuda said. Vam Rava Amar Rav Nachman, Hamakadish b'milva sheyesh lo mashkin. If somebody owes someone else money, and he gave him a mashkin, he gave collateral towards that loan, and now he forgives that loan, if that would be a case between a man and a woman, that if a woman gave a man, borrowed money from a man, and also gave the man collateral for that loan, security, and then the man goes and forgives to her that debt, the halacha is mekudeshes. How do we know that? With Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, from what Rabbi Yosef Yehuda said, Lav Amar Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, didn't Rabbi Yosef Yehuda just teach us, Maas HaRishonus, that the original money that the father got, Lav LeKedushin, that they weren't given for Kedushin. Hi, what is the money that the father, was being held here all along? It's halvah. She owes to her husband the labor. She owes to this owner the work she has to do as an amavriya. The higufa, and she herself is actually the mashkin. She actually is the collateral that was put up. v'chi mishay b'shava pruta miyad, and therefore if there's a shava pruta left of value in her, and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says yid could be done, we have a kedushin. So why? Because it's the forgiving that she doesn't have to work anymore. The forgiving of that obligation. So we see whenever we have such a situation, we can affect a kedushin. Tana Rabbanan. Kate and Mitzvah Yud. Exactly how does Yud take place? The owner says in front of two people, Harayat Mekudeshesli, Harayat Meresesli. And the Mefarshim ask, why do we need to have these two Edom? The Pnei Yeshua suggests, because every Davish Verva, every marriage requires two Edom to establish that this woman is indeed an Ashes Ish, and therefore we need the two Edom here. The Stipler explains, and this is based on what Rav Chaim says, that every marriage, every Kedushin, actually has in it two elements. One is a Kinyan Mammon, and the other is a Kinyan Isser. A Kinyan Mammon means a financial transaction. A Kinyan Isser means that all of the rules of an Ashes Ish apply, says the Stipler. The Kinyan Mammon actually happens when the father receives the money. But now we have another step taking place when the yield is being done. That's the kedush, the iser aspect, that she has that she becomes an Ashes Ish, with all the rules attendant to an Ashes Ish. And therefore, the halacha is that we need two Edom to create this Kinyan iser. So he says in front of two Edom, Harayat Mekudeshesli, Harayat Meresesli, Afilu B'Soyv Sheish, even if he says this at the end of 6 years, Afilu B'Soyv Mechleshkiya Schama, even at the right neck before Shkia, V'Noy B'Minig Ishis, V'Noy B'Noyag B'Shifchis, he acts with her as a wife, not as a Shifcha, as a servant, she becomes his wife. Tosfos, the Rishonim, quote Rabbi Chanan, who says, from here we see that the 6 years that an Oma Havriya has to work for owner, we don't count hour to hour, rather we count day to day. That if today was the first day, and let's say she began working at 9 a.m., it's not 6 years later at 9 a.m. that her term ends, but it's really at the end of the day. Because we see here that the Bryce is making a blanket statement that Somuch Lishkiya Sachama is when the term ends. The Rishonim also point out that the Braisa just says v'noig ba minig ishus, very noig ba minig shifchus. What's the difference between minig ishus and minig shifchus? So the Rishonim explain that, as we learned in Masechta Ksubos, a wife has to turn over her earnings to her husband, but there's a certain amount that the Gemara taught us that a wife has to earn. A shifcha, there is no limit; she's totally obligated to work for her owner. That's what pshat is, noig ba minig ishus, very noig ba minig shifchus, that the dinim of what a wife has to provide kick in, not what a shifcha has to do. This was the opinion of Tanna Kamma. However, the Rabbanan, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, however, says, im yeshos b'yom kedei lasim ha-shav pruta, if there's still a value of a pruta left, then mekudeshes, memlav, and mekudeshes. Says the Braisa, Mashaloi Me'isha, this can be compared to a situation where somebody says to a woman, Hiskachli Me'akshav, I want the Kedushin to be effective today, Lachashloi Shemiyayim. Which, as we've learned many times, he wants the Kedushin to be effective retroactively. Or Ba'achav Kitchen B'Tok Shloi Shemiyayim. And therefore, somebody would be Mekadashar within those 30 days, the Loch is Mekadashas Larishin, the first Kedushin is valid, not the second one. Says the Gemara, what does the Braisa mean when it says Moshel? Moshel Aman. To which opinion is the Braisa bringing a Moshel? Elaim and Moshel Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. If you will suggest it's bringing a Moshel to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that can't be. Because Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says, as we learned previously, the Kedusha Yud, the Kedushin are only effective when the Yud actually takes place, not retroactively to the moment of purchase. For Rabbi Yossi said, "Im yeshos b'yom kedei lasim ha-shav pruta." If there's a shav pruta value left in this shivcha, in this amavriya, then mekudeshes. Memlav loy. So it's not retroactive. Says the Gemara, it's going according to the opinion Amar Vachbered Rava Moshul Rabbanan. It's going according to the opinion of the Rabbanan who say that the original money that was given from the husband to the father is what affects the Kedushin. And the same is by any Kedushin that's done that way. Asks the Gemara Pshita. So what is the Moshul coming to teach us? Answers the Gemara. Well, if somebody gives a woman Kedushin and tells the woman the Kedushin should be effective in 30 days, and he did not say the word Me'achshav, maybe we should think that even if he didn't use that word, it should be always effective retroactively. Kamash Malan, that only if the word Me'achshav was used is the Kedushin effective retroactively, if not, not. Tanyidach, another Braisa. If somebody sells his daughter for holach for kitchalacher, after he sold his daughter, he was mekadosh her to another man. Says the Braisa, sichik ba'adon u'mekadosh l'shani. He ridiculed the person who bought her, but the kedushin to the second man is a valid kedushin. Divrei Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. V'cham amrim emrotz liyad miyad. The owner still has the right to do yid. Moshul continues the Braisa. Why? Because as the opinion of the Chacham, as we've learned many times, is that the Kedushin effective from when the father receives that money. So the Kedushin was effective then, and therefore the father can no longer receive Kedushin from anyone else. Continues the Braisa saying, Marshal Oyim Elisha Red Mekedushli Lachish Loshim Yoyim. If somebody says to a woman, you're Mekedush to me after 30 days, and somebody said, and then somebody else was Mekadosh within those 30 days, the Halacha is Mekadosh L'Sheni, because the first Kedushin didn't yet take effect. Says the Gemara, Mashloman, according to whose opinion are we trying to bring a Mashal? Ilem L'Rabbanan, if we're going to say we're trying to bring a Mashal to the opinion of Rabbanan, how can we say that? The Rabbanan say, Ham Rabbanan Lotz Miyad Miyad. The first money that the father receives is what affects the Kedusha Yud. And therefore, it's already too late to accept Kedushin for anyone else afterwards. Since according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, the Kedusha Yud are only effective in the last moments, when, or the moment when she actually gets the money, and therefore we have to see if there's still a Shava Pruta, a value in her. Till then, she's not Mekudeshes, and therefore till then she can become Mekudeshes to someone else. Says the Gemara, obviously, Pshita, that this is the following opinion of Rabbi Yossi. What is the Braisa teaching us? Answers the Gemara, Ma de Tema, Hale Amalo Achash Loshim Yoyim. Even if he didn't say that the Yud should take effect after, the Kedusha should take place after 30 days. But when a person says that the Kedusha should take effect after 30 days, the Kedushin should take effect retroactively, and therefore we would think that the second Kedushin is not valid, Kamash Malan, that unless it was explicitly said that the Kedushin are retroactive, we only said the Kedushin off from when the Kedushin were done. And therefore, according to Yosef Yehuda, only when he does the Yud does she become Kedushas, not retroactive. Tanya Yitach, another Braisa. Hamaycher is Pitoi, Opasik Imash Amnash Loyliyad. If somebody sold his daughter, but he made a stipulation that the owner or his son cannot do yield. Niskayim atnai divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says this is a valid stipulation. The Chacham, however, the Chacham say, imrotz liyad miyad. If the owner chooses to do yield, he has every right to do it. Why? Because b'nei shehistam mashakos b'torah, he made a stipulation which is contrary to what the Torah says, and the halacha is, kolamasta mashakos b'torah, if somebody makes a stipulation against what the Torah says, to not bottle the stipulation is void. The Mefarshim, the Rishayim, explain why is the halacha that a masna a mashikos b'Torah to not bottle. Some Rishayim explain that it's like a tanai that's impossible to fulfill, and as we have learned, a tanai that's impossible to fulfill is not considered a tanai. A tanai that violates what the Torah tells us is such a tanai. Other Rishonim explain even a little deeper. As we explained in previous shurim, the entire concept that a tanai is valid is really a chiddush, that the Torah tells us that one can make a tanai. And the Torah set forth stipulations when one can make a Tanai and when one cannot make a Tanai. And the Torah teaches us that any Tanai that violates what the Torah says is not a valid Tanai. Ask the Gemara, Ula Rameya Tanor Kayim, is according to Rameya da Locha, that the Tanai is considered a valid Tanai. But Tanya, Hi Melisha, Hi Rei at Mekudesh Asli, somebody says to wife, I'm being Mekadesh you. Amenas, She'en Li Olai, She'ek Sosfu, I know, that the obligation that every husband has to his wife, that he has to give her support, have food and clothing and having relations, harezim kedushas, the kedushin is a kedushin, but it's not bottle, but the tanai is invalid because it's going against what the Torah says. Divrei remeyer. Rabbi Yehuda makes the following distinction: bedavish b'mamon, regarding monetary matters, so there tanai kayim. Regarding, however, other matters, tanai bottle. So here we have a stira, we have a contradiction in the opinion of Rameya. In the first price it says, Rameya says that one can make a stipulation against what it says in the Torah. In the second price he says he can't. Now to understand Rabbi Yehuda's position, says the Ritva as follows. Rabbi Yehuda, says the Ritva, actually holds that a Tanai that's contrary to what it says in the Torah is void. However, when a man makes a stipulation that the woman should have no financial claim against him, his condition, says the Ritva, according to Yehuda, is not directed to the Torah. It's directed to the woman. He's stipulating that the woman should waive her financial rights, not that the Torah law is void, and therefore his condition stands. However, when his stipulation affects non-financial matters, like having relations, there, the woman is not empowered to waive that claim, so it's considered as if he's stipulating against what the Torah tells us, and therefore his stipulation is void. And the Pesukim say, based on this Gemara, that from here we see that a person does not have the right, according to all opinions, to make a stipulation against what the Torah says. So, the Shulchan Aruch Rav, for example, says, what will be the halacha if Reuven borrows money from Shimon, and he agreed to Shimon that if he doesn't pay up in a timely fashion, Shimon should be allowed to hit him. She's allowed to hit him as pay, as punishment. Says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, since no one has the right, no, we don't own our bodies, and that's why the halacha is we can't do damage to our bodies, therefore we can't stipulate that someone should have a right to do that to us. Similarly, there are mefarshim that even suggest that if the stipulation was made that if I don't pay up my debt, you could have me put into jail, again, I have no right to agree to be in that situation, and the stipulation would be void. But again, getting back to the Gemara, we seem to have a contradiction here in the opinion of Rameya. Can one make a condition against what the Torah says or not? The Torah, by using the extra word la'oma, teaches us at times the entire sale could just be that she's an oma. Says the asking of Rabbanan, "Hi la'oma my Abdullah." What are Rabbanan who disagree and say that such a stipulation is void? What do they do with this superfluous la'oma? Comes to teach us that the father could sell the daughter to people who are disqualified, like a mamzer, a nasin, who may not marry her. Says the Gemara, why do we need a pasuk? Can we learn this with logic? We've learned that kedushin with a chayv elavin, even though it's an Avera, is an effective Kedushin. So if he can make Kedushin with such an individual, Loyim Kerenel Psulim, shouldn't be allowed to sell to such individuals? Says the Gemara, Ma'al Mekadosh L'Psulim, if somebody's Mekadosh L'Psulim, she can Adam Mekadosh L'Bitik Shinara. We see that the strength of a father's jurisdiction to effect Kedushin is quite strong. Because even when the girl is already a Nara, does the father still have the right to be Mekadosh her? However, in Kerenel Psulim, she can other meiches b'tik shikta nara. A father can no longer sell his daughter when she's a nara, because, as the Gemara says, if she is released from being an Omar of Riya once she's a Nara, certainly she cannot be sold as an Omar of Riya when she's a Nara. Tamaloymer La'omar, that's why we need the Pasuk La'omar, B'lamet Shemach L'Psulim, that the father could sell it to a man that is possible that there's a Chayv Yilavin to marry her. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Im L'lamet Shemach L'Psulim, if the teaches that the father could sell it to a disqualified person, Harek Van Nemar, we don't need the Pasuk La'omar to teach us that. Because the Pasuk says, Imroa Be'eno Adonneho, and the explanation of that pasuk is shurah ben Israel, that it's an improper marriage. It's a marriage of a chayv lavin. Mam tamalom la'omar. So what does the pasuk la'omar teach us? Melamed shemaych le'kroivim. He's allowed to sell it to relatives, even though they can't marry her. Says the Gemara, v'laydinhu, can't we learn this rule through logic? Im maych le'psulim, if he could sell her to somebody who's disqualified, le'im prena le'kroivim, can't he certainly sell her to relatives? And as the Tefillah explained, if somebody could disgrace his daughter by selling her to a disqualified person, certainly he should be able to sell her to a relative where there is no element of disgrace. Says the Gemara, the comparison is weak. Because ma'al amarch l'psulim, when somebody sells his daughter to a disqualified person, shimratz l'yad miyad, the yield would be an effective yield. Because as we've been explaining, a chayv lavin can do yield. Yom kurena l'kroivim, could he sell it to kroivim where there's a chiyuv kares, and therefore the yield would not take effect. The kedusha would not take effect. Shimratz l'yad enim yad, therefore amar kura l'amar, melamed shemarich l'kroivim, she could be sold to kroivim. Says the Gemara Rameya l'psulim, and according to Rameya, that says that she could be sold, where Rameya, who says that we need the word la'amah to teach us that a stipulation could be made that she will only be an amah, only be a servant, will l'psulim nafkalei, mahach nafkalei Rabbi Lezer. The din that she could be sold to psulim will be from the same way Rabbi Lezer learns it, from the pasuk of Mura Be'ena Adonai. B'kroivim, regarding Kroivim, Savalek Rabbanon, he actually holds like Rabbanon that hold a Michael Kroivim, that you can't sell a girl to Kroivim where yield, where marriage can't take a place. Tani Chada, says the Gemara, we learned the one Braisa, Michael Aviv, she could be sold to his father, Vay Michael Benoit, but she can't be sold to his son. A man can't sell his daughter to his son. Tani Aydach, a Michael Aviv, Laila Benoit. Ask the Gemara. Bishlama, the Braisa that says Ein Michael Lo Lava V'Lo Benoi, obviously follows the opinion of the Rabbanon that we just learned. The Rabbanon holds you could only sell her to a person who could be Mekadosh her. Ela Michael Lo Aviv Ein Michael Lo Benoi Kman. It's not like the Rabbanon, because according to the Rabbanon, neither should be able to be buy her, and according to the Lezer, either should be able to buy her. Says the Gemara, Lo'ilam K'Rabbanon. It does follow the Rabbanon. However, Maid Rabbanon Hechadik Tzayyud. If Yud would be potentially passable, the Rabbanon say that such a girl may be sold. Now, if someone sells his daughter to his father, so yes, his father cannot do Yud on this girl. This man is this girl's grandfather. But the grandfather's son is the uncle of the girl. An uncle is allowed to marry a niece. And since the uncle is allowed to marry a niece, yield is possible. That's why the Braisa says, Michael Aviv and Michael Benoit. Why not Benoit? Because a son can't, if somebody sells his daughter to his own son, so certainly his son cannot do yield with this girl, it's his sister. But not only can't he do yield with this girl, his own son can't do yield with this woman either, because it would be a situation of a man marrying an aunt, and even though an uncle may marry a niece, a nephew may not marry an aunt, a father's sister, and that's why the Braisa says, Maichrei Aviv, they Maichrei Libnai.